We began a number of weeks talking about the result of going to the wrong refuge. Have you ever gone to the wrong place for something you've needed? Have you ever gone to the wrong person for something that you've had need of? How many of you know how frustrating it is when you have need of something and you go to a particular place because you have need of something and you get there and the person that you find out of everyone else in the place has no clue what you need when you go to them? Has it ever happened to you? How frustrating is that? Because they all have that little tag. It says they're experts, right? Or that they're, or whatever, you know, they're the one, you know. And so you go and you ask the question and they have no clue. And then they find you the one who's supposed to have the clue and they don't have a clue. And frustration builds. But when we go to the wrong place, that's what happens. It breeds frustration. It breeds disappointment. It breeds anxiety and many other things. But the three things that we talk specifically about that going to a wrong refuge can breed in our lives or bring into our lives is this. One, distance. Going to a wrong refuge can bring distance in our relationship with God. In other words, if we go to something else or someone else other than God, it creates a distance in our relationship with Him. Number two, we discovered that it brings disappointment. Anytime we go to the wrong refuge, anytime we go to anything or anyone else to comfort or satisfy or to meet need in our life, we're going to come away disappointed. And that's why so many folks today are so disappointed in this life, because they're not going to the rock of refuge. They're not going to the one who holds the answer to their need. They're not going to the one who can deliver it, can heal it, can set it free. Many, many times in our life, we deal with symptoms, not causes. And because we deal with symptoms, we never get to the root of problems. Jesus always got to the root. Jesus wasn't distracted by symptoms. As a matter of fact, He didn't even listen most of the time when people tried to give Him the symptoms. Because many times that's all they are. They're just a symptom of something. They're not the real thing. And when we go to the wrong refuge, when we go to the wrong place, we come away disappointed. And that disappointment brings frustration. How many of you have ever been there? Come on, be honest this morning. God knows. It brings disappointment, brings discouragement, brings frustration. The third thing that we see in this list of three is destruction. By going to a wrong place of refuge, it can cause greater harm than that which was already taking place. It can cause greater harm. And so then we began to look at three things that happen when we go to the right refuge. And the first one we saw was strength. When we go to the right refuge, we find strength in God. How many of you have ever been in such a weary situation or a weary place in your life, but when you went to God, you found strength? You didn't even know how you didn't even know how it happened, but you had strength to face the day, to get through the problem or the tragedy or the heartache or the financial situation, whatever it was in your life. If you got to God, you found strength. Secondly, we found that there's help. When we go to Him, there is help. He knows the answers. And He's faithful. He's faithful. He doesn't beat us up and bring up to us all of our failures or all of our mistakes or all of the things that we've done that would have disappointed His heart. When we come back to Him with a repentant heart, He is right there faithful to help us. He's right there to receive us. He's right there to bring us in and to wrap His arms around us. We read a verse the other week that said, God literally dances over us. That is an amazing thought, to think that God, the creator of the heavens and earth, would dance over us. Today I'm going to talk to you about the third thing, and it's found in Psalm 46, verse 1 and 2. I told you I'd wear you out in Psalm 46, verse 1 and 2. God is our refuge. Okay, we've been doing this for 5 weeks now. God is our refuge. Amen. And strength. Amen. and an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea. Amen. So we see here in this verse that God gives us no fear. Malachi 3:6 declares, "For I am the Lord." Remember that last Sunday? I am the Lord. Say, "He's the Lord." Tell somebody beside you, give them a little nudge, say, "He's the Lord." You're not. Have you ever tried to play Him? Have you ever tried to be God? Have you ever tried to be God in someone else's life? He is the Lord. And the Bible says He changes not. He is God. He is solid. There is no fear in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we will not fear. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 declares, "There is no fear." Say, "No fear." There is no fear in perfect love. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. That's what fear has to do with. Fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. There is no fear in perfect love. There is no fear in God. So if we are in fear, if we are operating in fear, if we are living in fear, it's a signal that maybe we're going to the wrong refuge. Maybe we're putting our trust in the wrong place. Maybe we're putting our confidence in the wrong place, because there is no fear in God. God is not the author of fear. God does not bring fear into our lives. So when fear comes, we need to understand where it's from. It's from the enemy of your soul, the one who comes but for to kill, steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life in this world." He said, "You're going to have what? Troubles. But be of what? Be of good cheer." Why? What did He tell us? He said, "I've overcome the world." And that same Spirit dwells where? In us, that quickened Jesus' mortal body. That same Spirit dwells in us that raised Him from the dead. Therefore, when situations or circumstances or problems or heartaches or whatever it is in life, we can stand and be of good cheer. If we go to the right refuge. Because He gives us this thing, the Bible says, peace that passes. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with. Lean not on your own. But in all of your. Acknowledge. And what will He do? He will make your path straight. So in the midst of these problems, in the midst of these hard places, in the midst of the difficult times in life, we trust in the Lord. And therefore, because we have not misplaced trust, because we've placed it in the right place, we can have peace that goes beyond natural understanding. Because in the natural mind says worry. The natural mind says be afraid, be very afraid. The natural mind says this will never work out. The natural mind says this thing will destroy you. The natural mind says you can't overcome it. The natural mind says you're going to be defeated. But God. Because there's victory in Jesus. Amen? So when we put our confidence and our trust in Him and we go to the right refuge, we find victory. So we're going to get to the meat of the story this morning in Mark chapter 4. If you have your Bible, or Barbara will have it up on the screens for you, Mark chapter 4. It's not a long story. It begins in chapter number 4, verse 35, and it goes through verse number 41 of Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35, following down through verse number 41. On that day when evening had come, how many of you have grown weary from morning to evening? Because of whatever it is that's transpired through the day, You know, you got up, you declared, I'm going to have a good day today. You thought everything's going to, I'm going to be positive throughout this day. I'm going to just love Jesus and everything's going to be good. And then 45 minutes later, the bottom falls out. Has that ever happened to any of you? And weariness sometimes between the dawn of day and the going down of the sun begins to settle in. And most people declare they become more weary as the day goes on. More tired as the day goes on. And because we're tired and because we're weary, we become more easily frustrated. Maybe something that wouldn't have frustrated us at the beginning of the day is now really frustrating us at the end of the day. And because of that, we want to give someone a piece of our Christianity. On that day when evening had come, he, Jesus, said to them, his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee." They had toiled all day. They had ministered for a long period of time. There were great throngs of people. Weariness was beginning to set in. Tiredness was coming upon them. Maybe even hunger set in, and they were becoming hangry. And so they wanted to, you know, even Jesus needed to get away from the crowd sometimes. You know, it's healthy to get away sometimes by yourself. It's healthy sometimes to just get out of all the noise. Sometimes it's healthy to get away from all the clanging sounds that are happening around us. Why? Because those things can become great distractions to us. And especially if we're weary, especially if we're tired, those things become enhanced. Did you ever have a dripping spigot? When the house is going, you know, you hear that plink, plink, it'd drive you nuts. It'd drive you crazy. You got to get somewhere. You go to another room and you don't hear that drip, drip, drip of the spigot, you know, instead of going and getting a washer and putting it in there like I need to do. Have you ever had a drippy spigot? Oh, my Lord, the thing will drive you crazy. I said to my wife, if anybody ever wanted to drive someone nuts, all they got to do is put them in a room and let a spigot drip. It's the most crazy, or a dog licking itself is the craziest. My dog will lick his paws and it drives me crazy. How many got a dog and know what I'm talking about? How many of you are glad we don't lick our feet? And if you do, we can talk later. I don't know that. We could pray for you. They had been busy all day long, and nightfall was coming, and Jesus said to the disciples, we need to go to the other side. And so he says to them, let's go get in the boat. And there were other boats with him. And a great windstorm arose, which is quite common on the Sea of Galilee. We've talked about that in depth before, so I'm not going to get into that. But the landscape of the land causes and creates windstorms to come upon that body of water that just doesn't seem natural, but it does. And they become violent and very difficult to even navigate on at times. And when the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. In other words, there are these, some of them, trained fishermen. They're going across, we don't know exactly how many boats, but we know there was more than one boat. And they were in the boats, they were going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and the storm arises. They were right in the middle of doing what Jesus had commanded them to do. He said, let's go to the other side. He said, it wasn't their idea, it was his idea. He said to them, let's go to the other side. And right in the middle of going and doing what he had instructed them to do, they find themselves in the middle of a storm. And that's important for you and I to understand, because we can be right in the middle of what God has for us and still find ourselves in the middle of a storm. Living for Jesus and doing what he does doesn't mean you're not going to have storms. They're going to arise. And sometimes they're going to come suddenly. How many of you have ever had a suddenly? How many of you have ever had a lingering? just because we serve him doesn't mean these storms aren't going to come. And he gives us great pictures in his word. He gives us great illustrations and great stories that we can see him in the midst of leading his disciples as he did then, he does today. And storms arose for them just as they will for us today. He was right there with them. And many times we think God's left us. Many times we think Jesus has left us because we're in a storm. Just because we're in a storm doesn't mean he isn't there. Sometimes he is the orchestrator and the one who has led us head first into the storm. He did here. He knows everything there is to know about everything, right? So he knew there'd be a storm. He knew before they ever got into the boat there was going to be a storm. And he knew how they would react in the middle of the storm. Because he knows everything. But he took them anyway. Because one, they needed to get to the other side. And two, they needed to understand the power and the authority that he had. And that they could trust him and that they could count on him in the midst of difficult and hard places in life. This storm was so bad that even trained fishermen, even skilled men, thought they were going to die. The waves were filling up the boat. They were hollering out, bail the water, grab the lines, do what you... You know, they were throwing out all kind of instructions, doing everything that fishermen knew to do to sustain the boat. They were doing everything they knew to do. How about you? Have you ever been doing everything you knew to do and it still wasn't working? Come on, bail the water out, bail the water out. You help him, you help him. And as the fast as they're bailing it out, it's coming in. I don't know about you, but I've been in that place in life. As fast as I'm throwing the water out, the water's coming in. As hard as I'm rebuking the wind's blowing. Have you ever been there? Bring down the sails, tighten the ropes, do this, do that. Everything that we know to do, everything that we're comfortable with in and of ourselves to do. I can handle this. It wasn't working. And when everything you know to do doesn't work, what happens? Frustration. Fear. Worry. Anxiety. Stress. All begin to build. And build. They had done everything they could. The storm was greater than what they were capable of handling. But he was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And one of them, we're not sure which one of them, but one of them went and they woke him. And they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Now imagine that. The scripture says, cast your care on him because he cares. Isn't it funny? The very thing the word says he does, we accuse him of not doing. Don't you care? Have you ever said it? Or let me, have you ever thought it? Sometimes we wouldn't dare say it. Because we consider that to be sacrilegious to say it, but we'll think it. How many ever thought something you didn't let out of your mouth? How many of you know the Bible says he knows your thoughts? He knows every word before they even exit out of our mouths. Don't you care? I could just see the scene. Bailing water, grabbing ropes, panic, frustration, running out, shaking the Son of God, as he's sleeping, isn't it amazing? The very thing that caused such fear and anxiety in them, he was sleeping. He was sound asleep in the middle of the storm. He had a little knowledge that they didn't quite yet grasp. He was bigger than the storm. The storm couldn't overcome him. He was greater than the storm. So, because he was greater, Marie, than the storm, he could lay his head and he could go to sleep because he knew the storm couldn't defeat him. See, you can rest in the middle of a storm when you know the storm can't beat you. Come on. That's the confidence that we have in Christ, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So that when we put that hope, that confidence, and that trust in the one who is able, we're able then to cast down fear and imagination. We're able at that moment to say, in the middle of this thing here, I can find peace because he's greater than the thing that I'm facing. And a lot of times the problem is we don't see him as being greater than the problem we face. We get our eyes fixed on the storm. We get our eyes fixed on the hard place. We get our eyes fixed on the difficulty, and therefore the difficulty begins to multiply. It begins to magnify. And because it begins to magnify, that becomes the thing that we think about, the thing that we become consumed on, when our minds and our thoughts should be turned to the knowledge and understanding of God's Word. That if God be for us, who can be against us? That he is our refuge, that he is our strength, that he is our ever-present help in the midst of trouble. So in the midst of this thing, he is my refuge, he is my strength, he is my help. Therefore, I shall not fear. See, we don't have to fear because he is all of these other things. And when we have the understanding and the knowledge of exactly who he is and what he is capable of, it casts out all fear. It casts out all doubt. And it casts out all worry. In this natural world and in this present life that we live, it's not a matter of fear coming, because fear presents itself. Let me say it to you like that. Laura, fear will present itself to you. It's not that you won't have the opportunity to be afraid. And we'd be foolish to say that you would never have the opportunity to be afraid. Every one of us will have an opportunity to be afraid, but it's what we do with the opportunity. How many of you have opportunities in life? Every single day in life, we have opportunities in one way or another. There are opportunities that are laid before us. From the time you were born to the time you find yourself now, there have been opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Some people face opportunities and they accept them and they move in those opportunities. Other people miss opportunities. When fear comes, you would do well to miss it, to refuse it, to reject it. It will come. It will come, but it's only an opportunity for you to accept or deny. When fear comes, that instant, oh, we've then got to take control of the thought realm, cast it down, and declare and decree that God is bigger than the situation. Refocus our vision onto Jesus, the author and the finisher, outside of the storm. He is greater. So instead of the difficulty, we look to the solution. Does that make sense to you? So instead of focusing on the negative and on the bad, we turn our focus and we look to what God is able to do in the midst of the storm. And if we truly believe and trust God, then we know and believe that he works all things, even storms, even illnesses, even hard places. He works all things. All things encompasses everything. And so if we truly believe that he works all things together for our good, we do not have to operate in the realm of fear. Because fear will only disappoint you. Fear will only bring you to a bad place. There's never a good result from ungodly fear. And we know it doesn't come from him. Teacher! The accusation. Don't you care? We're going to die. He awakens from his sleep. And immediately, he doesn't deal immediately with them. He deals with the situation. He rebukes the wind and the sea. And this is what Jesus declared to the wind and to the sea. Peace, be still. and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. See, he has authority over natural elements, obviously. They didn't know that. They didn't understand that. All the fear, all the frustration, all the worry, all the anguish, all that was happening in that boat, in one moment, peace be still. How long did that take? Not very long, did it? Peace be still. Maybe 2 seconds. Peace be still. And everything that had caused, everything that was happening into their life at that moment, and then instead of being afraid of the storm, they became afraid of him. Fear is a funny thing. The wind ceased and there was a great calm, and he said to them, he looks at them and he says to them, listen, why are you so afraid? Why are you still afraid? What was he saying to them? You've misplaced your trust. You're believing in false evidence appearing real. Fear. You've misplaced your trust. Why? It's an interesting question. Why? Why are you so afraid? That's what he's asking you today. Why are you, not the disciples in the verse, why are you so afraid? You've heard sermon after sermon, Bible study after Bible study. You've listened to television ministries, radio ministries. Why are we so afraid when the one who has authority over storms can stop storms? Have you still no faith, he says to them. Hebrews tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. We must have faith in order to please God. Oh, ye of little, Jesus once said, oh, ye of little faith. Now listen to this. And they were filled with great fear. They had fear. The storm stops. And now they're filled with fear again. And said to one another, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? These are the ones who are following him. These are the ones who are his disciples. In the midst of his authority, even they stepped back and said, whoa! Have you ever had an moment when he's done something? Can I tell you, miracles are only miracles to us. They're just common practice to him. When God does a miracle, we're like, woo! God's like, oh, that's nothing. That's nothing. I do this stuff every day. That's nothing. They looked in awe of what he did because they had never seen anything quite like this before. A major storm. They had seen storms there before. They have witnessed storms like this, but this one was up close and personal. You know, it's a little different, isn't it, when you watch your neighbor go through a storm? It's a little different when somebody else is facing the sickness or the illness. But when it becomes up close and personal, and it's your storm, how many know the difference between when it's somebody else's storm and it's your storm? It was their storm. It had become very real to them. In the battles and the storms that we face in this life, they're our storms, and we become very, very acquainted with them, and we figure out and find out the difficulties of those storms, and in the midst of those storms, we become fearful, we become frustrated, we get filled with anxiety and stress, and we begin to worry, and we begin to mistrust, and then we begin to put our trust in a lot of other things than God. I know a lot of people that put their trust in people, in places, in things. That this thing will help. This thing will make a difference. That person will make a difference. Only Christ and Christ alone can make the difference. Satan does everything that he can to distract us. He does everything that he can to put something in our pathway, to take our vision, to steal our vision away from where our vision should be. But God loves you. God loves you. And right in the middle of that storm, he's there to comfort you. He's there to strengthen you. But where will you go? They had a choice in the middle of that storm. One of them went to get him. Only one of them went to get him. The rest were so busy trying to figure it out on their own. The rest of them were too busy trying to handle it on their own. Only one of them had the foresight to go down and say to him, "What are you going to do about this? We're going to die if you don't do something here." Only one of them. The other ones were handling things on their own. And I would say that to you this morning. How many times in our life we have the problem, we have the situation, we want something to be done about it, but we really don't go to him. We try to figure it out and handle it ourselves. Only one of them went to him. And he stands up and he pronounces authority over the thing. He is your refuge. He is your strength. He is your help. And because of that, there is no fear. And I'm here today to tell you this. If you feel like you're trapped, if you feel like you're going down, if you don't feel like there's a way out, the good news is there is a refuge. There is a refuge. But the key is, where are you going? It's a choice. It's an opportunity. You can choose to go to him, or you can choose to go to something else. You can choose to let him handle it, or you can choose to work it out yourself. There is a refuge. He wants to be your refuge. He wants to be your strength. He wants to be your help. The only question is this. The only question is this. Will we allow him? Will we surrender? And will we allow him to enter into our storm? Will we allow him to rise up in the middle of our storm? Because when he rises up in the middle of the storm, he's able to end the storm. He's able to stop the storm. He can do that for you today. He can speak to your storm, and it can stop. Maybe he'll speak this morning and stop your storm. Maybe he's going to speak to it tomorrow morning. Maybe he's going to speak to it tomorrow afternoon. But can you put your confidence and your trust in him? To everything there is a time, to everything there is a season, to everything there is a purpose under heaven. And to trust that when God sees fit to stop the storm, he will stop the storm. Do you trust that today? Do you trust that today? Do you trust his sovereignty today? Do you believe his sovereignty and his love enough that he cares for you and that he wants to bring you out of your difficulty? But remember, the difficulty may simply just be a God-ordained place. It may be a God-ordained place. This storm was a God-ordained place. Let's go to the other side. We've been so preconditioned in our Christian faith over the last number of years that we believe that if a difficulty arises, that God can't be in the middle of it. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I'll tell you when I face the most difficulties, when I'm doing what he wants me to do. That's when the battle really gets real. There ain't no battle when I'm not doing anything for the kingdom. But as soon as you start doing something for the kingdom, the battle arises, the storm comes. This was a God appointed. Let's go to the other side. But there was a lesson to be learned between here and there. The fiery furnace. That was a God ordained moment. But who wants to face a fiery furnace? The lion's den. Who wants that? It was a God ordained moment. Huh? Because we see what happened through the midst of those difficult places. And we see the victory that God brought through them. Will you trust him enough today to know that he'll bring victory to you as well? I'm going to invite the team to come back up. We're going to close our time together this morning. I want to encourage you this morning that he is your refuge and your strength. He is your ever-present help in the time of trouble. But if you go to the wrong refuge, you're going to get a bad result. If you go to the right refuge, which is Christ Jesus, you will find peace in the middle of the storm. You will find refuge in the middle of your storm. You can have peace in the middle of your storm. And you know what? Maybe you've fouled up. Maybe you've messed up. Maybe you've done something to really cause a difficult time in your life. In God, there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. All you got to do is turn and come back to him and say, God, I know I messed this thing up, but I need your help. He's not going to say to you, oh, well, fend for yourself. He'll be there right in the middle of your storm to bring you through, to help you, to bring strength into your life, to bring peace into your heart, to get you back onto solid ground where you're no longer sinking. You're no longer wavering with every wind that blows down the road. But that your hope and your confidence and your trust can be placed in Christ, in Christ alone. Amen? He'll bring you through. He'll bring you through. I can stand here by experience today and tell you, he who has begun a good work is faithful to complete it. Amen? Come on, will you stand with us today? Father, in the mighty, matchless name of your Son, Jesus, I pray for each one who's here today, God, that you would speak to the storms that are happening. Lord, some are storms you have ordained. You're taking them through. There's a reason and a purpose for it. There are other storms that the enemy has brought their way. But regardless of whatever the cause of the storm is, you're able to navigate us through it. Or you're able to stand in the midst of it and tell it to stop. So today, in the authority of your name, Father, I ask you today to rise up in the midst of every situation being faced today by every individual that's gathered here this morning. And Lord, whether you deliver them out of it at this very moment, or you navigate them and direct them through it, either way, we are going to be still and see the salvation of our God. Whether you deliver us out of it or you take us through it, we are going to glorify your name. We are going to honor you. We are going to put our faith and our confidence and our trust in you. Because today we believe that with our God, all things are possible. So help us to refocus today. Help us to shift our eyes. Help us to shift our vision from the difficulty or the hard place, from the tragedy, from the illness, whatever it may be, the financial thing. Help us, Lord, to fix our eyes on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. And give us wisdom. Give us wisdom today, Father. And give us understanding as we either are delivered out of it or we navigate through it. We need your wisdom and we need your understanding. So I thank you today for granting wisdom and understanding. I thank you today for giving peace. Thank you today for comforting troubled hearts and minds today. We may have come in with one thing, but we're going out with another. We may have come in frustrated, but we're going out with peace. We may have come in confused, but we're going out with our hearts being comforted to know that if our God before us, who can be against us? Thank you so much today for strengthening us. Thank you for comforting us. Thank you, Lord, for showing us that even when we don't recognize you, you're there. And even though we may feel like you're sleeping, at the right moment, you can stand in the middle of our storm and tell it to stop. I put my hope in you today. I put my trust in you today. Because there is no God. There is no God like you. We honor you. Strengthen every core and fiber of your children today. Let us go out of this place with peace, being able to say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Come on, will you sing our final song with us today as we give him thanks and praise, because he's good. He's good. We bless you, Lord.